We are enjoying a good week of prayer. It's nearly over now, and I am very delighted to be in the week of prayer. My folks came from County Tyrone many years ago. My grandfather was an Ulster man, farmer, and we still live on a farm. I remember in 1969, my sister said to me, "Ian Paisley is coming to Decatur to preach." One of her teachers in the public school had told her that. So there were several of them going to hear him, and she invited me to go. But I did not know the Lord, and I thought Paisley was a design on a shirt or a tie. I had no other clue. And so she went, and she was talking about Ian Paisley for a long time thereafter. I didn't know what she was talking about. But it was, I would say, probably 1969. It was 2 years later that I was actually impressed very deeply by the Lord to do something. And it was to go to Bob Jones University. And I thought it was the strangest thing that I was impressed to go to Bob Jones University. It's absolutely shocking because I had no intention of doing any kind of Christian service, but I knew that that's what I must do. So I went to Bob Jones as a student. And there I heard this man she had talked about, Ian Paisley, preaching. And I was very impressed. This man was preaching God's word with great power. And then they had, over the years I was there, they had William Beatty preached, Ivan Foster. I don't know if anyone else did. And in 1976, Dr. Paisley came and he preached, it seemed, with more power than ever. And I remember one meeting he preached. There were 1,000 of the student body of about 5,000 that were moved of God at the close of the service. About 1,000 of the students were seeking counselors to help them with the needs of their souls. In that meeting, Dr. Paisley said there would be a meeting in Edinburgh in the summer. And once again, I want to tell you this. I was called to the ministry 2 or 3 years before that. And he said there was a meeting. And I knew as clear as the sunshine that God wanted me to go to that meeting in Edinburgh. I didn't know why. I have 2 sisters. One of them lives on the farm beside me with her husband. I think Dr. Mike Barrett may be there at their home tonight. He's supposed to preach there on the Lord's Day. But my 2 sisters said to my father, when I told my father I would need to go to Scotland in the summer, it was a very strange thing to do for a poor farm boy to be going away instead of working to pay a school bill. So I went away, and ever since that time of being in Scotland in 1976, my 2 sisters told my father that he contributed to my ruination, because in Scotland I heard a lot of these Street Presbyterians preaching and praying. And I said, something is different about them. Something is so very different. Well, in 1977, I went back to Bob Jones in the fall of 77. I didn't go in the fall of 76. I went back a year later. And I noticed that they had a sign up on the place where he checked in at Bob Jones. There was a bulletin board that had a leaflet on there that said a tent crusade. It was Ian Paisley preaching a tent crusade in Greenville. So I went over and I looked at the dates, but it was over. But there was a number. It said the manse. Well, I didn't know what a manse was, but I knew what a phone number was. So I called this phone number, and it was David McElveen. And he told me that there was a church and how to get there. So I said, every time they open the door, I'm going to be inside that door. Because I would go in the early mornings. They would have an early morning prayer meeting. I would go just to listen to the people pray. And he said, why did you do that? Because I wanted to know God. I did not know God. I did not know Jesus Christ. I knew about Him. I did not know anything about imputed righteousness. I didn't know anything about justification. Didn't know any of that. I heard, you know, about Jesus, Bible stories, and, you know, and I made lots of decisions, you know. You go down, what they say is you go down to the altar. So I've been down there many times, but I still didn't have the knowledge of the Lord. Didn't have any peace. Well, I was reading the scripture, Numbers chapter 9. And there was one thing that I got from this. Brother Wagner referred to this in his message. When God shows you something very clear in His Word, in the light, when you come into the darkness, don't doubt what God has convinced you of in the light. We were singing in that last song, when thy soul is dark and clouded, filled with doubt and grief and care, through the mist by which 'tis clouded or shrouded, yes. Okay. There are times in life where you go through periods of darkness and shadows and you don't know exactly what to do. But when God has spoken very clearly in His Word, you better obey what is very clear in His Word. And here in Numbers chapter 9, the Lord made it very clear to the Israelites they were not to move unless He moved them. Okay. I knew that God moved me to go over there in 1976. And what I saw and what I heard was beginning to change my life. And in spite of my dear sisters telling my father that he had contributed to my ruin, I had been a Baptist pastor. I had been preaching since I was 18 years old. Well, what do you preach? Thomas Chalmers preached for some years before he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards' grandfather preached in New England for some time before he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord saved Solomon Stoddard, Jonathan Edwards' grandfather, at the communion table. He was leading the communion service, and all of a sudden he was overwhelmed. He was melted to tears. And his wife, sitting there in the congregation, knew that God had saved him. There were only two people in Northampton that knew that Solomon Stoddard was lost. That was Solomon Stoddard and his wife. The rest of the congregation thought he was saved. But I think people can know they're lost. I think people can really know they're lost. No matter how many decisions they've made, no matter how many times they've prayed the sinner's prayer. I remember being told that a young man was very filled with doubts about his salvation. And so he was a farm boy, and it got my attention. He went out behind the barn, and he kneeled down again, and he prayed the sinner's prayer, and he drove a stake in the ground. And every time he had doubts again, he would go back and point to that stake. Well, I tried that. And then I realized when I had no success, I was looking in the right direction. I was looking back into the past. I was even looking at something of nearly the right thing. I was looking at a stake. I wasn't looking nearly far enough in the past. I needed to go back to a thousand years to a rocky hill crag outside the city wall of Jerusalem. And there was a cross. But there was one on that cross who did not just work out my salvation for me, but He is my salvation. His blood and His righteousness is my peace. Well, I knew that God had directed me to go and hear that. And I knew that God had directed me to go to that church. And in 1978, let's see, I was 25 years old. I'd been preaching for 7 years. And I was sitting in that building in Greenville, over on the side there. They had enlarged the house and the crowd maybe a little bigger than this. And I was sitting over there on a Sunday morning. And for the first time in my life, after sitting there in that house for several months, sitting there, the Lord saved my soul. He took all my dependence off the other things I had been depending on. What had I been depending on? I was a good man. I was reading my Bible every day. I had a prayer list. I was saying, going over my prayer list as faithfully as any papist did a rosary every day. I was going and witnessing to people, passing tracts out to people, telling them about Jesus. But how to get them all the way to Jesus, I knew not. And I was living a separated, godly life with my hair trimmed properly and my shirts were not wrinkled like this one is. But anyway, all that. But still, I didn't have the Lord. And that day, that was 1978, the peace of God came into my heart on that Lord's Day as I was directed to look away to the work of another. I never got that. It was the work of another. It never clicked. I may have heard it, but it never clicked. It never came home to my soul until that day. The burdens fell off. I'd like to tell you I never sinned anymore since then. But I'm going to tell you this. The dominion, the slavery, and the bondage of sin was broken that day. I regret to tell you. I still sin. But I'm no longer the slave to sin that I was before. People look on the outward appearance and they think all is well. You can even pastor a church, as so many pastors did. And they were lost. What did Jesus mean when Jesus said, "Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name?" And what's he going to say to them? I never. We never had that intimate knowledge and communion of one another. Well, the Lord gave me very clear direction from this passage that any decision that I was to make in my life, I needed to have the clear direction of God, and I better be very careful about stepping out and going my own way. Because He told them if they had to wait, if the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night stayed there a day, a month, or even a year. Verse 22. Even 2 days, a month, or a year, if the cloud tarry, you better stay right there where the Lord has you. The Lord made that clear to me. And as I was sitting there under these various ministers, they had a different minister come about every month. There was a man from out in Fermanagh, little Gordon Cook, who came. And he told me that there was a theological hall. And I knew that I needed further training. And I wanted to hear the truths that I was hearing in that church. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. I wanted to hear them on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I wanted to hear those truths. Because I knew God wanted me to preach. And so I found out from those brethren that I could maybe come to the theological hall. So I came. In 1979, I got married in September, and my wife and I left in September and came over here. And what a wonderful blessing it was to be here in Northern Ireland and to be in that theological hall. I was learning wonderful things every day. Sometimes I would come home and tell my wife what I had learned And it shocked her. Sometimes she cried. But, hallelujah, we're okay. But we went through that year. And we had this passage. The Lord is very clear. Direction. The cloud had moved us to Northern Ireland. Well, at that time, I don't know in my brain if anybody had in their brain a plan to build churches in North America. There were three congregations, but nobody told me that there was a plan in place to plant churches across North America. But I got very far out of line because the Lord had given us a perfectly clear call from the Scriptures to come to Northern Ireland. And He did not give us a call to go anywhere else. Well, at the end of that year, we got an offer from man to go to this big church. Excuse me. And to be an assistant minister, work in their school. My wife teaching in school. So that was an easy route. Two ways there. You go this way, or you stay with what this is. A clear direction from the Lord and a direction from man are two different things. So we went wrong. And for 5 years, we suffered for it. For 5 years, we suffered. I'm just thankful that my wife of 30 years and I are still together. But we had some terrible years there. My wife cried every Lord's Day because she missed the kind of preaching that there was in Northern Ireland. She didn't have, there weren't any prayer meetings either. Boy, she loved to go to the prayer meetings. I loved to go to the prayer meeting. Praise God. The Lord caused them to start this school over there. And they finished, they got their first class. First year done. And Dr. Cairns was over there. And the Lord once again caused His word to shine very bright. Made it very clear. You got to stop what you're doing and you got to go back to the Free Presbyterian Church in South Carolina. They have a school there. We went back! Hallelujah. What a blessing to be in the will of God. To follow the direction of the Lord rather than the imaginations of your own mind or some preference that you may have or what may be convenient or easy. The will and the work of God. Let me say this. When God shows you something very clearly in the light of His Word, when you meet other circumstances, when you meet difficulties, whatever you meet along life's way, don't turn away from the clear truth of God's Word that you saw in the light. What you saw from the Lord's Word in the light, don't doubt or turn away from in times of difficulty or darkness. So I praise God that the Lord has been working. We now have a congregation between 50 and 60 people. And we have elders and deacons. And we're very happy that the Lord is saving Roman Catholics, and we had a wonderful experience just recently. Another poor benighted Romanist came to the Lord, and we trust that the Lord may even call him to preach. He's 20 years old. He's friends of my children. I remember meeting his father before he was born. And our meeting house, they live about a half a mile from our meeting house. And I remember meeting his father, and I said, now talk to his father. His father had a testimony of knowing the Lord. But I knew a lot of the family was Roman Catholic. And a little boy came along, has an older sister, and the boy's name is Ian Borowitz. It's a Polish name. And they sometimes would go back to Poland and be with their family over there, all Roman Catholic, you know. And so my children grew up knowing him, and they did some things together. And I have a son, 20. And they heard about Ian, that he was preparing to go into the priesthood. Oh, no. That was terrible to hear that. And so the young people in our congregation were praying for Ian, and praying for Ian on Wednesday nights in the prayer meeting. And in the youth prayer meeting, they were praying for him. They started praying for him. They heard that. And I guess they started praying for him in the late summer of 2000 and, what was it? 2008. Late summer of 2008, they started praying for him. And so one, Dr. Cairns was coming to preach for us in Trinity. And so there were some folks who said, we're going to have to get him to come in here, Dr. Alan Cairns. And somebody gave him a book, one of Dr. Cairns' books. And so Dr. Cairns came in October of last year. That's 2008 is when he came, actually. The years are going by too fast now. So he came and preached, but Ian didn't come. Very disappointed he didn't come. And these young people know all about technology. I don't know much about technology, but they have Facebook and, you know, all those things, Twitter and whatever. I don't know how to do any of it. But they said that Ian had gone on Facebook in late December of 08. And he said on Facebook, I am going to begin attending Trinity Free Presbyterian Church. Everybody had been praying that would happen. It's amazing. Well, January comes. And Ian, who had been studying very avidly under the guidance of a friar and a priest, came in on a Sunday morning, January 2009, and he sat down. And everybody welcomed him. And then he continued coming for 6 months. And he would come all the services. He works a job. Sometimes he'd have to miss because of his work, but otherwise he'd be there. And after 6 months, I said, Ian, what are you trusting to get you into heaven? He said, my only hope is Jesus' blood and righteousness. And it's evident in his life. He's endeavoring to win others who are duped by the system of Rome and other things, to get them to Jesus. It's amazing. As he said to us the other day, he said, my mother is having a big Christmas party at the house. Well, it was the night our young people were going around and singing to a lot of the shut-in elderly, you know, singing the Christmas carols and stuff. So he said, could you come by our house? He was right around the corner from the meeting house there. So we went over, and there was his grandmother. You know, I didn't know how she was going to take it with us coming in there. And the mother was standing there. If the father had been standing there, I wouldn't have been so shaky, you know. But we go in, and all the young people, we start singing. There's a pretty good crowd there in the home. I'm about this many people, I guess. And so we started singing. And then somebody read the scriptures, and we had a little prayer. And the whole time we were there, Ian's mother was standing there. And it was a continual stream running down both sides of her face. And we're praying that the Lord will even work in Ian's whole family and bring them in. But how absolutely amazing. I mean, everybody was praying. But we were sort of like, you know, when Peter was in prison and he came to the door. Oh, no, he's not there. Surely he's not there. We sometimes pray like that. But how wonderful when God
surprises us. God answers prayer so we can have confidence in Him even as we pray.